perfect fade. That's a perfect fade. I knew I wanted you here for something. So Chris McCarthy, MVP. See, it's Father's Day. The fathers are teaming up today. Nice work.
That was really.
That was outstanding. Like
that. You need any stage help?
Any stage help?
Always.
Audio visual.
Always.
Constantly.
Gloucester.
You have the Foley artist, you know. You can.
I'm a good fader.
Wow. Good.
No one fades like he fades.
Yeah.
Especially when he's drinking.
Especially in golf. Yeah,
fade away.
No, he's got a good fade.
He's got a good fade in golf.
GloucesterCast 340. It's the Father's Day 2019, GloucesterCast.
The biggest holiday of the year is here.
Big.
Yes.
Big. Ooh. Bow down.
Yes.
Bow down. Oh.
Father's
the seed. We have planted the seeds. We have the children. I got the best Father's Day gift ever today.
What's that?
And just when, you know, you have a teen daughter, and just when you think, like the older teen one is just graduated from middle school, about to go to high school, so she's a little aloof right now and into her cell phone, and she's just not all that present all the time. She made me the nicest video today, montage of the two of us and with Madeline and Kate in it and everything. Best dad ever, all this stuff. And you know, that's you can nice. Forgive so much malaise when you get something like that. Like, it's funny because my mom's the same way. Like, I'll be a rotten son and like not call her in a couple weeks, and then like I do something nice and all of a sudden I'm like the greatest son ever, even though I'm not the greatest son ever. So Father's Day, happy Father's Day. What are your, who's are you a father?
Yeah.
You're a father?
No.
No father. Okay, what do you do? Describe the ultimate Father's Day.
The ultimate Father's Day, being on a golf course for 5 hours, have a few cocktails, play golf with the boys, and then come home and have dinner with the family.
There you go.
Ditto.
Oh, I didn't know you golfed.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah?
Let's go.
Yeah.
I'm not a golfer, but mine's very similar. Mine is to chill out, to barbecue.
Yeah.
Smoke a cigar on the deck, watch the Red Sox with everybody, and eat barbecue at the end of the day.
Yeah,
that's mine.
It's hilarious how so many guys think that the perfect Father's Day involves spending large blocks of time away from their children.
where was my time away from the children?
I'm playing golf with my children.
His boys golf.
It's blocks of time away from the wife.
Emil. All right, we're going to go around the room. We have Eric Majors with us.
Hi, good morning.
Good, what are we talking about today?
Straws, stirrers, stoppers, plastic, Gloucester.
Oh,
hashtags. Those are all hashtags.
Yeah, June 25th is the when it goes to Gloucester City Hall for vote.
All right, we're going to talk about that. Chris McCarthy's with us.
Hi, Joe. Good morning. Happy birthday.
Father's Day.
It's your birthday, too.
Yeah.
It is my birthday.
It is every week.
It's your ball.
Hence the presents. Susan Lipson is with us.
Warren Gloucester, happy Father's Day.
Bob Walsh is with us.
Hey, hey.
The girl, the Heinz. Walsh, what was your name?
Cook Hines. I was saying Cook Hines.
She's got it, Cook Hines.
Cook Hines. Yeah. No, but what was the first one?
Madison.
Madison Cook Hines. She's here.
Heidi
Dallin is here.
Good morning.
Kim Smith is here.
Good morning, Gloucester.
And Joey Shimataro is here. That's me.
Sort of.
Are you sure?
Kind of. It's a long weekend. I spent up and down the Annisquam River, which is really nice. A blessing. Anybody that does it, you know, it should be required that everybody has to take a boat ride on a nice Saturday afternoon up and down the Annisquam to get a true appreciation. It's one of those Gloucester things that, like, if you never really get on the water, you'll never get the full, the full Monty.
It's so beautiful.
So to say.
Did you go by the Osprey Nest?
I did, but I wasn't paying attention.
Curious. There's some babies.
No, I know. Chris pointed them out the other day, but I was kind of. I was distracted.
Okay.
I was distracted. We're going to talk about, we're going to start out with our friends from Gloucester Stage. I guess we've dropped the Gorton's people out. They're not with us anymore. Are they with us anymore?
Well, they're still here in Gloucester, but we bought the building from them.
You did?
Yeah,
like
10 years
ago. That's so hard to watch.
He wasn't paying attention again.
Can I say something?
We bought the building.
My children, this is something that goes along with children. Like when they're in grade school, it seems like it just crawls by.
Now
every year, like I swear to God, like the last 10 years, has flown. Like, I just can't believe it. And I'm scared to death because, like, so my daughter just went from eighth grade to like I said, to she's going to high school next year. I just have this feeling I'm going to blink and she's going to be in college.
That's what it is.
It's going to blink. It gets faster as you get older.
Yeah. It does. It just flies.
Accelerated rate.
Okay. So
there's a scientific reason for that. But
oh, is there?
Yeah, I can't explain it. There is a scientific reason for that.
And you don't have it? I feel you'd have it right at the tip of your
head. It's a smaller and smaller percentage of your life.
Oh, right. There you go.
Like the monarch butterflies.
No, not at all.
I thought there was a correlation. There's a correlation between.
No, it's the plovers.
Does anyone
plovers.
Else want to ring in before the buzzer sounds?
Barefoot in the Park is at Gloucester Stage, and I heard it's funny.
Yeah, me too.
Word on the street.
Word on the street is it's real good.
I love it when word on the street's good.
Yeah.
So what is this? What's the deal with Barefoot in the Park?
Well, easily one of Simon's most famous and popular plays.
Classic.
Ran forever. On Broadway, so won a ton of awards. Turned into a film.
Robert Redford
and Jane Fonda.
Fonda.
And,
they were a fun. That was a sweet movie.
Yeah,
and that was really sweet. It was. Did you see it?
It was
a
classic
'60s.
Yeah. I mean, crazy.
Yeah, the costumes. Oh my God, she has a Burberry coat on. Like
you weren't
like,
born yet, Joe. probably
67.
Yeah. But great cast: Michaela Donovan, Joe Short, Paul Plum, and Richard Snee. And both couples are married.
Oh wow!
So it's hysterical. Yeah,
yeah,
it's really
it's
fun.
Really
oh wow!
That's a fun thing.
Yeah.
How did you pick this one?
Actually, it was a play that Joe and I were talking about because he and Michaela had like recently read it or something like that. And so, you know, I jumped on it. I read it, and I thought, oh my gosh, yeah, of course. And getting Richard and Paula together anytime is a huge amount of fun. But also. I don't know if this is a trend, but last year, you know, we did True West, but it was to honor and celebrate Sam Shepard, who had passed away the year before,
gotcha.
And then Neil Simon passed away last year. So
oh,
we just,
yeah,
you know, and it's not like we've done a ton of Simon at Gloucester Stage.
Right.
I know that we did the Red Hot Lovers about 10 years ago
yeah,
or something.
Yeah,
but,
yeah.
Yeah.
That's
so,
a sweet, that's a
you know,
tradition.
Yeah,
you
yeah,
know, but it's also, part of our mission is to do what we call American classics. So this pretty much fit that bill for we have a fantastic director, Shana Gazansky, who's, I'm just, you know, crazy about her now. She's really done a lovely job with it. And our designers are top shelf, so the whole thing is really good.
Oh, man.
Yeah.
How's it been received? Has there been any, when did it open?
Last Sunday.
Last Sunday?
Yeah.
And the how about the press?
Well, the press comes... There's press coming today too, so they've been.
You know what I think? You know, I hear my take on like my guess, my uneducated guess on this. Like there still was graduations like last week.
Yeah. It's so,
like summer really hasn't summer hasn't kicked in
yet.
Summer's
get all their plants planted.
Yeah, get the houses ready. Take the. Yeah.
This show's a good length too. It's 2 hours with intermission.
Oh.
Like there's an intermission, you can get. A glass of wine or beer, you know, Joey loves
the
that,
same.
and it's 2 hours, so not you
yes.
9:30 you're out. You can still go to
and
the Franklin for dinner afterwards or
yeah,
something.
Yeah, that's our thing. Go to the
you
Franklin
know?
After the plays. It's wonderful. It's
that's
a
great.
Wonderful night out.
It's a great take. It's one of those Gloucester things
yeah.
that we're blessed to have Gloucester Stage in our lives. That so many communities don't have anything like
right.
this, and we don't just get like rinky dink like. Banana Head plays. We get like real deal actors and stuff like that. No, you know what I mean? There's some places that have like theater troupes that are a bunch of wahoos. We get real actors here.
Really?
Yeah.
And Bob's directing the next show. After Barefoot in the Park, Bob's directing the next show.
What's the next show?
The 39 Steps.
Hitchcock.
Susan will be there.
I took an entire semester class in college. The films of Alfred Hitchcock.
Oh,
really?
We called it Clapping for Credit.
Clapping for Credit.
That's interesting.
So you're going to go to this one? Are you going to do a write-up?
I go to a lot of them.
Tom hasn't seen Barefoot in the Park?
He hasn't seen Barefoot. We were supposed to see it Thursday, but we had a babysitting thing going on. So
This whole baby is getting in the way of my...
Yeah.
She's cramping
Pat's seen it. She's one of our number... She was there opening weekend.
Pass the big time volunteer. Are there still volunteer opportunities there?
Still, oh my gosh, yes. There's all kinds of ushering. We're always looking for ushers. We're looking for housing volunteers.
Maggie Rose is off the list?
No, she's top on the list.
No,
she's she
top
always
on the list, but we have
more.
Oh, you got a bunch of actors.
Yeah.
More people coming from New York this season.
Right.
Wow.
So yeah, so Ben Butler.
Ben Butler, you got to see, because he was not only a general in the Union Army, but he was a governor of Massachusetts, and he lived here in Gloucester.
Really?
The story's really pretty amazing.
Wow, that's
it's
amazing.
Really crazy amazing.
Wow.
We're actually joining forces with Cape Ann Museum to do an event, a special event, which I want to say now is on the 27th, is that right?
27th
yeah.
July.
Yeah, it's
before it opens. There's a ton of stuff.
Oh,
I mean, memorabilia, content about Butler's life and living in Bayou.
Pat Delphius will love that, won't she?
You know, over on the Ames Estate, and then the cast will come in, do a scene, quick scene, the director will be there, so it's pretty cool.
So Pat Delphius, if they lived in Gloucester, then we could put Pat on this. To do some of that, the research about the Butler guy.
Yeah.
He put Asher on it too, who has a degree in American history.
He was the, he was the governor of Massachusetts. He was the one that started the tradition of, you know, the long walk, how the governor walks alone out of the state house. He was the first one to do it. And because nobody wanted to leave with him, he left rather unpopular when he was governor, and he just walked out alone, but now all the governors do that. And he was the one. And George, he's related to George Plimpton, was his great-great-grandson. So George Plimpton's brother's involved, and he's going to be here. And
cool.
So it's going to... But all the director and the actors for that are...
Coming in for... We have two guys from Boston, the rest of everybody else.
Yeah, and we've got the guy playing Butler was in the off-Broadway production.
Yes.
Yeah, he was in the off-Broadway production. So they're all, and so that's the month of August the show runs, and then rehearsals are July. So trying to find housing then for a director from New York and two actors is, so that's a definite way to get involved.
Okay.
And then we followed that. We feel like we got super lucky. There was a play just on Broadway called The Lifespan of a Fact, and we are the first theater to do it since it's Broadway run.
It's only been on, it was written and went right to Broadway. So we're the only theater in the world to have it. We have it
first. Other theaters will do it.
Okay.
We have it first.
Yeah.
We got
the jump.
Yeah.
Wow, that's true.
So not only do we have all of that, but we have Madison Cook Hines here.
Hello.
Did I nail it?
That's my name. Absolutely.
Madison Cook Hines.
She's the most mature one in the room.
By miles. She is directing The Binding.
Yes.
A stage reading of The Binding. And what is your background?
My background?
Yeah. Because this is a gig, this is a new gig for you, right?
Yeah. So I'm the directing apprentice at Gloucester Stage right now. I just graduated from the University of Rhode Island, where I studied directing. Oh, cute. That's pretty much my background.
So how did you find Gloucester Stage, or how did Gloucester Stage find you?
So Joe Short, production manager, one of the stars of Barefoot in the Park, taught at URI once a week, and I've been taking his classes for a couple of years. So he talked to me about it, and I applied, and now I'm here.
Wow,
that's awesome.
Yeah.
How are you liking the town?
It's great.
Yeah.
I know. I'm trying to take every chance I get to explore.
Yeah, there's a lot to explore.
Where did you live in Rhode Island? Are you from Rhode Island, or you just went to school there?
Yeah. So I'm from Coventry, Rhode Island, which I live all the way to the west.
They say Coventry, not Coventry?
Coventry, if you want to do it with the accent. Coventry?
Yeah. I also went to college in Rhode Island, and she's exactly right.
I'm sure.
I also went to college in Rhode Island.
Bryant College.
Yes.
Captain of the golf team.
Was it like a joint venture with the prison system? The adult correctional institution there?
Yes.
That's awesome that you had these opportunities.
Is Coventry all the way to the west and south, or just all the way?
So it's north to south. It's right in the middle of the state.
Okay.
And it's a really long, large town, but I live all the way to the west, so like I can go grocery shopping in Connecticut, and it's probably faster than doing it in Coventry. So
that's
wild. Such a pretty area, isn't it?
It's nice. I live in the woods, so it's a good time.
It's beautiful.
Yeah.
So tell me about The Binding.
So it's a really wonderful, joyful, charming play about kind of a harmful thing. So we start off with Isaac, who's a deeply closeted boy in a religious household, and his mother, who's a youth preacher, and everything's coming fine until Isaac's childhood imaginary friend shows up, and with lots of music and glitter and magic, tries to coax him out of the closet. And it's a really charming, wonderful play about the misguided ways that we love each other and imagination being so much more important than regulation.
She just sold it.
Yeah.
She just totally sold it. Bob, she's
mean?
A natch. Bob, just sign her now. You're going to extend the contract right now.
Yeah,
signing bonuses.
Here in a hot second.
Signing bonuses. I could see.
We're teaming with North Shore Pride with this, too. And the author is going to be here. The author is coming from New York, Tyler. And he's going to be coming out for a few days, and he's going to be here to work with Madison. Because the way staged readings work, it's all day. It's an all-day affair. Like, the actors come in the morning, they rehearse, they work all day, then you do it at night. So he will work with the actors. And he's a friend of Chris Griffith, who's our managing director, and they work together in Indiana.
Wow.
So
that's exciting.
Yeah. So that'll be great. And it's free. The binding is free.
Did you ever imagine that, like, right out of college, you're going to... like be thrown right into work like this?
No, but I'm sure glad I am.
It's great, isn't it? I mean, what an opportunity.
So
will you stick around after the binding has done its thing?
Oh yes. So I get to be the assistant director on all the shows at Gloucester, which is
what
awesome.
An experience.
Yeah. And then I get to direct one more staged reading that will be in August.
Jesus, what an opportunity.
So there are 8 apprentices, and they all live together in a house in Essex. They're mostly recent college graduates, and they all have their spec. Like, I have an education apprentice, we have the directing apprentice. And
do you have a marketing apprentice?
Yep, there's a marketing apprentice. Yep, a marketing apprentice.
That must be a hell of a time. Bunch of kids living together in Essex.
Well, I keep teasing
like
the
Harris House.
Yeah. I keep teasing the apprentices, like, look for those hidden cameras we put in there. You know?
No doubt.
I would watch it.
No doubt.
I know. I would watch it too.
Well, listen, we have a link in the show notes to both of these shows. And for information, there's also, if you can contact, there's links to contact information for Gloucester Stage to get a hold of Heidi if you would like to volunteer. There's a ton of opportunities. And the volunteers get to see shows, and there's a lot of perks for them as well, right?
There's a lot of perks for them, definitely.
Great.
If I come over to Usher, do I get an ushering apprentice?
I will get you one.
Pat Dalpiaz could be your usher.
No, she's
well, thank
smart.
You guys for coming. I know you have to be somewhere.
That's great.
Okay.
Thank you, Jerry.
Eric Majors is here.
Negative?
Seaside Sustainable.
Sustainability. Seaside Sustainability.
Sustainability.
It's a bad, long name, but it is who we are.
No, you do good work, though.
Yes.
People are happy.
Good. Well, I hope so.
You're making a difference.
Trying.
So today, what is the, in particular, part we're talking about today?
So today, we are taking phase 2. Of Gloucester's fight against plastics and try to get them out of our marine ecosystem. Mostly.
One single-use plastics, right?
Single-use plastics. Yeah. So we did successfully did a plastic bag and polystyrene ban with the Gloucester Clean City Commission as a joint effort.
Can I pipe in on that?
Yeah.
Okay. So. So now that it's been in effect for a couple of months, how are you doing with it? I'm fine with it.
I'm fine with it, with the exception of straws.
Okay, but then we're talking about the paper taking away
the
plastic bags.
Yeah.
So far has not impacted my life to a substantial degree at all.
Yeah.
Not
the only thing
I still can't remember to bring in my reusable shopping bags when I go in the store.
I can't. But me and you both have memory issues.
I just
so.
Don't know.
But
how
then you
I'm
just get paper,
that.
Right? You just
no, because I don't want all that trash either. What I do, I bring up the groceries out in the paper bags, put them in the reusable ones, which are in my car. And then I bring the paper ones back to the store.
Oh,
She's that's next level.
That's
next level, right?
Well, it's like a punishment, a penance for not remembering.
It would be nice if the brown paper bags had handles.
Some of them do.
I know some of them do, but it would be nice because they are a little bit more challenging.
Yeah, that
come
be.
On.
No, they are.
Have
you have to be. Listen, if we're gonna be, you gotta be fair and balanced. If you're gonna be fair and balanced, you're gonna be fair and balanced. They are a little bit more of a pain in the ass, but not enough to say I wouldn't do it.
No.
I'm happy that it happened.
I'm all for
the string bag, the stretchy ones they use in France.
It's just, I think companies could get more creative now that we're all heading in this direction. I mean, we're all smart people. Let's figure out a way to.
It's cost, though. They're all balancing out cost.
So charge me 10 more cents at the cash register.
Cost and convenience. That's those are the two.
Yeah.
The two big things in the United States.
Right.
Yeah.
Cost and convenience.
See, to you and I, we would both pay 10 cents extra.
For what?
Not a bag.
For more of
a... Hide it. Build it into a pack of gum. Charge me 2 more cents for a pack of gum so that I could get a nice bag with a handle.
With a handle on it.
Yeah, it doesn't have to be plastic,
right.
but a more convenient bag.
All the grocery stores just have bags with handles.
I know.
Yeah. It's more expensive. Now
Trader
you have to,
Joe's still
now
does.
if you forget your reusable bags, then you have to get a double paper bag so it doesn't break. You have to get it doubled because it's such thin material now.
Right.
If it's just a single paper bag, it'll
and
just
forget
break.
If there's something cold and wet in there. Like
yeah, I was just
going to
say
that.
Or a green pepper at the bottom that you know they put at the bottom of all the heavy stuff. And it squished the green pepper, so the bottom was wet. And
okay, well, if you use the self-checkout, you would have full control over that.
I can do self-checkout. Do you pump your own gas?
Yes, I do.
You do?
I so do.
You do? Oh, you know why? I'm going to tell you why. There's a difference. Down the south, like full service doesn't exist down south.
It
everything's
does a little bit,
barely,
but
barely.
I avoid it. It costs more.
I never pump my own gas.
I don't.
Or use the self-checkout.
Oh, my God.
Never.
I use self-checkout.
I
use self-checkout.
I want to keep the checkout people with their jobs.
Me
I
too.
Do.
Well, the self-checkout, you can get a couple free items. It's worth it. No, I'm kidding.
Well,
Stop and Shop.
See, cost and convenience. There it is.
So okay, so
human interaction. You know,
if there's no one in line, that I go to the people. But if it's backed up and I can get right through going self checkout, I'm definitely going self checkout.
I'll drive 3 extra miles to find a gas station with people in it instead of
really?
My own. Yeah,
I like Flanagan Square. I go to Flanagan Square.
Yeah.
I pay a little extra because their service is fantastic.
Right. I like the smell of gas. I like it when it gets on my pants. I just do, and that's it.
I
so I don't mind. It's a weird thing.
I love the smell of gas.
Well, I always like the smell of gas.
I love the smell of napalm in the morning.
I've had gas for 5 years.
I do love the smell of gas.
So, Eric, continue.
Plastic bags and polystyrene. Yeah, it's been successful for the it's been successful across the Gloucester and lots of communities. There's tons of communities across the country that are doing it. States are doing it. All full countries around the world are doing it. So, super successful.
Polystyrene is the worst thing in the world.
Polystyrene, it's terrible. So.
Yeah.
So the next level of what's happening.
So next level, what we're doing, we are putting a proposal together for a city ordinance. It's going to vote on June 25th at 7 o'clock at City Hall for single-use straws, plastic straws, stirrers, and hot stoppers. And so we all know what a straw is. We all know what a stirrer is. A hot stopper. Oh my God! You actually have one.
Oh yeah, those.
That's
things.
It.
Oh,
that's great.
Wow! Look at you.
No more hot stoppers.
Very prepared.
What are those?
Okay.
So it is.
I do have a paper cup.
So it is like it's a your plastic lid has a little oval in it for your mouthpiece, and that's a little plastic
plug. So it doesn't if you're
splash
going in your car, it doesn't splash out.
Exactly.
Splash guard.
Exactly. But places like McDonald's actually have them built into it.
Mm.
Right.
It's that little flap.
Yep.
That's, of course, not banned, but that's... So,
can I ask you a question?
Yes.
The coffee cup lids, are those bad too or no?
Well, I mean, the reality is China stopped taking our recycling. And they stopped taking it several months ago, over a year ago now, because our
the United States, we're not educated enough to know what goes into a stainless steel recycling and how to keep it clean. And
so
they want it super, super clean.
And they call our recycling stuff dirty.
Exactly. So they stop taking it.
Right.
So
right.
Is our recycling actually being recycled is a good question. And a lot of it's not. I mean, a lot of our recycling that we throw in our recycle bins here, we think we're doing a great job and they recycle. A lot of it's getting burned for energy. At least it's getting burned for energy, but it is getting burned. Some of it's being downcycled to different products, for especially plastics. Aluminum is a great product if you have a beer, you can buy beer in aluminum or plastic, or I don't know, can you buy beer in plastic?
Glass.
If you do aluminum or glass, buy your aluminum.
Buy
it's better.
Aluminum.
Better for the environment. Better.
You never told me about the lids for the coffee cups.
Is it bad? Well, you said, is it bad?
Well, are you trying to ban those or not?
No. It's not a coffee cup lid, no.
Coffee cup lids are good. They're recyclable?
Single-use plastics are good.
So is this a single-use plastic?
It is, but that is not part of our order. That coffee cup lid, single-use plastic lid, is not.
The plug is, but not the lid. Okay.
Right.
Is the reason for that is because there isn't a solution for that, and you figured everything would get thrown out if you tried to include that?
No, there are compostable alternatives for them. So
there are for the plastic lids.
Yes.
Can I put in a plug for what I think is a great alternative? There are places that you go with your own coffee mug, like your Yeti,
great.
And they charge you $1 for your coffee.
Right.
And it's no matter how large they are, like a huge coffee, it's $1.
That's
great.
So, there are alternatives to
that
can save you money.
Right.
And that's the key to these, quote unquote bans for the naysayers, for the people that say not in my city. There are alternatives to these products. So there are compostable straws.
Yes,
there are compostable straws. Now there are compostable straws that people don't like paper ones.
Yeah.
Some people have this kind of aversion to them, but there's compostable straws. I actually wish I brought one.
We brought this up. This is a topic a couple weeks ago because we were in Naples in March, April.
March
or April. We were in Naples and one place had paper straws and they disintegrated.
Actually, May.
Yeah.
In May.
Yeah, I'm not a big fan of paper straws.
So they have
compostable straws though.
Right,
are just like plastic.
That's what we're getting. So he brought. So we.
Other places have them.
So we talked
straws,
about
yeah.
this on the podcast, and we actually put a link to where you could buy them.
Yeah.
These compostable
right.
straws.
Right. Yeah.
I forget what the material.
So there is just like you said, there is an alternative.
There's not an alternative though, of course, to stoppers, hot stoppers. There's just not. So they just have to not use them, but. There's only two places in the city that actually sell them, or that offer them hot stoppers.
We're not going to mention their names.
We're not mentioning them.
Because we don't do that.
Yeah. But I mean, hopefully they stay, get behind it. And we have, in our city, we have a lot of marine debris just flowing right into our harbors and right into our water. It's unfortunate that we don't have a recycle system where our recycle bins are covered, and we don't have a trash system where our bags are not just. I mean, my street on Tuesday morning is a rubble field. I'm literally picking up all the time because we have dogs, we have seagulls, and we have wind. And literally, my street has to be cleaned up all the time.
So do you know? Your recycling the cover is supposed to be off, right?
The recycling.
The lid. You're supposed to be open, right?
Well, we are recycled. The ones we are given from the city is a tote. It's completely open.
Right.
It's completely open.
And that should, other cities and towns that are a little maybe more advanced than us, and we're trying to support this, have a system that's closed.
Yeah.
So that would really be effective.
I'd like to know when there's big spilled trash, why the people who collect the trash don't travel with some sort of broom and dustpan.
Because they would never.
They just leave
that
room. They wouldn't
they
get
would
through.
Their
it's not their responsibility.
5 seconds.
No.
They,
add that times 10,000 households.
Right. When you watch them picking up garbage, they're going zip 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 to each house.
And what I don't like is when they know something falls out and they leave it there.
Yeah.
Well,
I've seen. I look out my window and something falls out, blows away a little bit.
I think they do a really a very difficult job.
Oh, I agree.
And I think
DPW
does a really good job.
Absolutely.
I think one of our issues is that, as a resident, the 7 a.m., put it out at 7 a.m.
Right.
That's when their route starts. Don't put it out
yeah.
the night before. And then a lot of
yeah.
this problems will be all set.
Right.
I think
that should be a citywide
it is.
And it's not just recycling.
Unfortunately,
well, some, you know,
like,
see, in this town, right, you have a lot of people that are coming from someplace else, and they leave on Sunday nights, and the trash goes out on Mondays, and they're going back to Topsfield to work.
Right. Happy Father's Day. Joey goes to work at like 3 o'clock
Chris,
in the morning.
Bye,
Chris.
Bye.
I drive home. My coffee break, I go home, I put it out at 8.
But maybe some people can't do that.
No, right. This one, that's
right.
That was
people
the point.
Some people can't, definitely.
Yeah.
And that's why.
It can't be a law.
You
can't put it out till 7 a.m.
Right.
on Monday morning, on the day of trash
right.
day, because some people have to have a little bit of leniency there.
So my shift at the beach starts around 4:30, 4:45 in the morning, and this is before the DPW gets there. And you just can't even imagine what people leave. Like there'll be a mountain of whole chairs, toy trucks, shovels, pails. It's, 30 beach towels. 30 beach towels. Somebody could just come and, you know, scoop up all this stuff and resell it and make money. I mean, it's just phenomenal how much stuff is left behind.
All right, Eric. So what can people do?
So a few things that people could do. You could go to the 25th, the 7 p.m. Show your support would be wonderful.
Where?
Where
can they go?
City Hall. City Hall. The big auditorium there.
Cairo's Auditorium.
Yeah.
Cairo's, yeah.
Yep. That's June 25th, by the way. There's a Facebook event out there. You could share that, comment on that. There's also on Seaside Sustainability Facebook page, there's a change.org petition if you want to sign it. You could also email Joanne Senos. Am I saying her last name right? S-E-N-O-S? Senos? I don't know.
I've just emailed her
okay.
myself, but
all
I
right.
don't know.
Well, anyway, her email is jsenos at gloucester-ma.gov, jsenos. And you could email her your support and say, hey, I support this.
Because then she distributes it to all the counselors, right?
Yeah, during that evening, they will ask Joanne
what happened.
So
is June 25th a Wednesday night?
That's a Tuesday
night.
Tuesday night.
Okay.
Fiesta week. It's
right.
Fiesta starts on Wednesday, so
they'll
be all right.
The novena starts on Tuesday.
Yeah, the novena is kind of specialized, though.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, I mean,
people can go.
No, people could go. I get it, but like the rest of the week, actually, Thursday is where Fiesta kind of traditionally is. Like, there'll be a ton of people down there.
There'll be more people down there.
Yeah,
yeah.
Is that the network?
Not to lessen the importance of the novena. The novenas are at the heart of what Fiesta is all about. But
what night are we going?
What's that?
What night are we going to Fiesta?
I'll be going. My good. I'll be going Saturday on the boat for the Greasy Pole.
That's it.
So you're gonna be parked out there.
You
I don't
go
like
walk
a,
around.
Not like I used to. Well, they don't. It's not like it used to be. It was. It used to be
nothing
like all the Italians.
Is.
No, I know.
Like it
but it used
to
be like all the Italians, and they had all the carts with all the you know specialty foods and stuff like that. And
the Italians.
Now, like white people, Americans, Irish people could think of as the Fiesta is not. What my fiesta is. My fiesta is the procession, the novena, the greasy pole, and the same boats, obviously. But like the white people or the Irish want to say that like the gross carnival is what fiesta and the carnies
yes,
or what
so
fiesta is all
fun
about.
To play fiesta bingo.
Yeah, well, it is. It's kind of for people that actually grew up with the traditions of it.
Right.
It's actually whatever. I mean, I get how funny it is to outsiders, but it really the fiesta is a beautiful. The traditions of fiesta that the keepers of St. Peter hold on to is actually a very beautiful thing.
It's very special.
So,
a very special thing to do is the closing procession at 11 o'clock at night on Sunday.
Yeah.
And that's when they process with the
put St. Peter back around the fort.
And they go around the fort, and some years they have fireworks, and it's beautiful because it's really
it is beautiful.
Yeah.
I for the last 20 years, like having to get up at 3 o'clock in the morning on Monday. Yeah. I don't do it. But as a as a kid, it was just it was great. And my sister still does it. But yeah, and kudos to the people that keep up those traditions.
To keep up the
novena and all the things. Even like the pie eating contest.
Were there pie eating contests when you were a kid? Was that?
Yeah, there was all that stuff.
So there was that too.
Yeah, there was all that stuff. Yeah. You know, but the same this pageantry. And there's behind the scenes stuff of the same boat races that you know, to the outsiders, people don't really understand, but it's really pretty awesome.
Yeah, and I want to just do a quick shout out to Ken Hecht, Ward 2 counselor, because without him, this couldn't be happening. So it was a really good partnership
between
Ken and Seaside. So yes, definitely. So thank you guys for having us and supporting Seaside Sustainability.
Yeah, really thank you for coming in. Yeah, whenever these things come in, as a business owner, I'm cautiously optimistic, but still, because some green initiatives, in the past, are not taken into consideration in my, like sometimes there are, like I'm all in on solar, right? But I'm all in on solar because I'm actually making money with solar.
Right.
Even though I like the fact that it's green for the environment and stuff, that wasn't the deciding factor for me. The deciding factor for me as an economics major, went
cost
to Bentley College growing up.
Cost and convenience.
100%. So it's nice. So I think putting energy towards finding solutions that are, workable and livable
and affordable.
It's a great way to spend your time. So thanks for coming in. Thanks for the work you guys do.
Thank
I know you have like partnerships all over the place.
Yeah.
So what are some of the other great groups that are doing work in our community?
Now you're gonna put me on the spot, because if I forget one or two or five, then I'm going to be
really... All right. Well, I won't do that.
Then. Right? If I had a list, I can't. There's a whole bunch of them.
There are.
Right?
I see the list. You know what I mean? It's all... whenever there's something happening, there's 10 groups that are like all pulling in the same direction, which is nice.
And I can probably name 7 right now, and then I'm going to miss 3.
We don't want that to happen.
Like, hey, you missed me.
We don't want that to happen. Thanks for coming in, Adam.
Thank you.
All right. The next thing we were going to talk about is... I want to do a shout out to Kate's mom, Mimi, Martha Foley. It's her birthday today.
Happy birthday.
She's sharing. I wonder how that dynamic is going in their household. The push and pull of who gets more attention. Kate's father on Father's Day or mother for her birthday.
Birthday. Oh, bye.
Do you think? How do you think that's going
to
go?
I think people evolve to a certain level, but... by the time they're the ages of Kate's parents, where they seek things other than attention for themselves.
Well, not necessarily attention, but actually the inverse, I think, is what fathers want. Less attention and rather be left alone.
Leave me alone.
Yeah.
It says a lot. Yeah.
Don't break my balls. Did you see Chris's hat today?
No.
On his hat it says, "Don't break my balls."
Always tasteful. Sartorial choice.
Tremendous. Tremendous. Chris was just here putting his buoys together. He's going to be, he got a recreational license. So he went and he bought.
What's that? A recreational?
For lobster.
Recreational lobster license.
For lobster.
So he bought 10 traps, used traps off of a lobsterman.
Wow.
He went and bought brand new rope and brand new buoys and another back man helped him put all his. The rope together the right way.
I saw Chris showing him.
Yeah, Chris was showing him.
Oh, great.
And so I've asked him, and I hope he does this. I told him I wanted him to put a spreadsheet together of all the costs of what he's got into this.
Oh, like the people who go salmon fishing in Alaska.
And how many lobster he's caught times to what the lobster price is if it would have been cheaper for him to just buy them at the stop.
Maybe after 2 years or something, it'll...
Why would he buy his lobsters at Stop and Shop instead of from you?
No, I don't know, because, whatever. He's a friend. I'd give them to him. But yeah, so that's it. It'll be interesting to see. Congratulations to Gloucester High School girls softball Division II North champs. They were. I was following this on Twitter, because the whoever does the Gloucester High School athletics Twitter account always tags me in what's happening.
Oh, right.
And so I can retweet it so my followers can see. And so it was tied going in. It was tied up at the end of the seventh inning. There's seven innings in a high school softball game. So tied. It was tied at 6-6 in there. At the top of the eighth, which is the big first inning of extra innings, Gloucester High School softball scored 8 runs.
Oh, my God.
Wow.
And put them away. In
wow.
The, in
like the Women's right. World Cup against
wow.
Thailand.
Yeah, that was like 13-0.
Women's World Cup versus Thailand, which...
It was 13-0, but they had just... Thailand had just beaten somebody else 11-0. So those were huge.
Are you sure about that?
Games. Yeah, huge scoring games.
I don't know about
games.
That.
I don't think that was their first game for both of those teams in the World Cup.
Oh, okay, but
maybe
to, but they had just to get to it was a non-World Cup game to get to
another time.
Oh,
right.
Oh, I see.
Right.
To
okay.
Play
in the land of the blind, right. And the nearsighted man is king.
Right. Yeah. There you go. That's a good way to put it. So anyway, there was some outrage about the way they ran up the score because, like, you know.
No. That counts. Their total goals scored are going to count later on.
Right, as in tiebreakers. So we grew up. Like, you know, with peewee soccer and stuff like that, that if you, like, once you get to 5 goals, you know, you let off, and you, like, the girls will have to hit the ball 3 times before they even take a shot on the net or something. So it's like, you know, they're taught, like, sportsmanship.
Right.
Now, at this level, Thailand is, they're in a group with the United States and 2 other teams. Now, they all 4 of these teams play each other and to advance to the next round, and... the other 2 teams in that division will play Thailand. In the case of a tie at the top of that of those 4 teams,
mm-hmm.
It goes to points 4. So, and those other teams get to play Thailand also.
Oh, okay.
So if the United States and say Sweden both have the same number of wins,
right?
But the United States has 23 goals scored,
mm-hmm.
And Sweden has 24 goals scored. Sweden advances in the United States,
right?
So there is a reason. So
why?
And Sweden gets to play Thailand, which is obviously a weak team.
Right.
So if Sweden ran it up, and the United States decided to play nicey-nicey and only scored 7 goals,
right.
They could get bounced out.
Right.
Right. So there is a reason for what they did.
I think the arguments were more about the
celebration
after the 8th goal. You're supposed to quit celebrating. But what you have to understand is for some of those U.S. women players, it was their first World Cup goal.
Goal, right.
And they spontaneously celebrated.
Yeah. I read that as well.
Yeah. So there you go. There's that. It's National Pollinator Week, not National Pollen Week. Not National Pollen. Don't make a mistake and call it National Pollen
Week. Well, it feels like it could be National Pollen Week with the allergies.
In my case,
what Joey was saying.
That's exactly
well.
The way I felt.
It's a week to celebrate creating pollinator gardens. It's a week to celebrate bats. Bats are pollinators. Beetles are pollinators. Also, butterflies, of course, bees, hummingbirds are pollinators.
Hummingbirds, I've had a total fail on my hummingbird.
On your green hummingbird feeder?
What, I thought you had a hummingbird. Did you have a hummingbird
one.
On your
No, you know that that was fake. You knew that was fake. You knew that was fake.
Like the Nancy Pelosi videos? Is that you
no,
doing it the same way?
How did you do that?
There's apps for everything. You know that, right? Yeah, you put the little thing. You can put lightning bolts. You can put swirls in coffee. There's all different things you can do.
You got to plant some plants.
If you're
if
a
you
liar,
want,
you do that
if,
stuff.
If you want, if you want,
I wrote in the post. Someone says, "Is this real?" I says, "No, it's."
I didn't believe it.
If you plant things, they will. If you plant for the hummingbirds, they will come.
I think my number one problem was the lack of red. I got the pretty green. hummingbird feeder instead of the cheap plastic red one. Everybody says the cheap plastic red ones work.
Well, they do work, but your green one, I've had them.
I went with the mason jar, light green, seafoam green one.
You know what?
Total
just
fail.
Put,
I want to smash it.
Just put two up. I told you this. Put a cheap plastic one and a nice one. And that way, then they'll
the
go back.
The cheap red one will throw off all of the decor that I've worked so hard to establish the theme.
What would one plant in a pollinator garden?
Oh, there's so many things. So if you
just
wanted
give
to
give us the highlights.
Okay, so if you wanted to attract, hummingbirds specifically,
right.
For example, you would plant native honeysuckle, not wonderful fragrant Japanese honeysuckle, but Lonicera sempervirens. It blooms in beautiful Spanish orange, red, tangerine color. That's your number one plant for attracting hummingbirds. Then suppose you want to attract black swallowtail butterflies, you would plant anything in the carrot family like dill, parsley, fennel, because all those members of the carrot family, the black swallowtail will deposit their eggs on them. That's the caterpillar's food plan. So when you're planting the most important thing when you're planting a pollinator garden is you want colorful nectar plants to bring the pollinators in, but you also want the caterpillar food plant for the butterflies. So once they come in, then there's something to sustain them, and then you can watch their whole life cycle unfold if you do both. So you want the colorful nectar plants to bring the bees and butterflies in, but then you also want the caterpillar food plants as well.
There you go.
So
get that going for you.
Well, I think it ends. It started June 17th and ends June 24th, National Pollinator Week.
Tell me about the plovers.
The plovers are doing awesome. Today they are 16 days old, which is a huge milestone. I don't think we've ever had three make it this far. Knock on wood. And this is their fourth year. I know some nasty people write that, well, in 4 years we've only had one survive. It's really 3 years we had one survive. This is their fourth year, and so far we've had these three beautiful little chicks. They're doing great. They go down to the creek and feed during the day, and they make it, it's very quiet and peaceful down there, and then they come back up to the protected area at night. And they're still using the protected area as a little home base, so they take little tiny flights, little mini flights. You can see them like run, leap,
oh, yeah.
And get a little, you know, do
getting
a
little air,
and then crash.
Oh, wow.
You know what I mean?
Do they roll when they crash?
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
There you go.
Yeah, and then also we have killdeer nests. Killdeers hatching all around Gloucester right now, so they're pretty much right on a similar schedule as the piping plovers. They're not endangered, but they're adorable, and there's a whole bunch of them running around at Good Harbor Beach parking lot right now. So,
my house finch nest.
Yeah.
That.
Yeah, you had.
Do you remember the one got in the house and the?
Yes,
and everything
yes,
happened there.
Yeah.
Well, the nest went away after, and they built a new nest, and we have five chicks that have hatched.
Oh, wow.
And
they've
been getting fed right now. They're
did they build
bigger.
A nest in the exact same place?
Same exact spot.
Same as that.
Yeah, we can
spot.
Expect that.
Yeah.
Same. I'm thinking we can expect that the same.
Yeah.
Do you think it's the same mother and father building it?
Yeah, probably.
It's pretty wild.
Yeah, it's pretty
wow.
Neat.
Like,
yeah,
so
yeah.
Did they survive the whole winter and are back?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. House sparrows? Oh, no, house finches. Yeah, they're here all year round. Yeah.
I wonder where they go.
Yeah, where do they go all winter?
Yeah.
Well, I want to double check on that. I know house sparrows are here all year round. They're here feeding at people's feeders all year round. I think house finches do as well. But if they don't, they go where all the other ones go. They
yeah.
go to Costa Rica, Florida,
my
Texas.
House.
Yeah.
Mexico,
I think they have a nice little situation, a nice little
yeah.
condo over at your
yeah,
place.
Yeah.
Well, you know, I kind
they
of, so I'm thinking about it, right? It,
yeah.
it faces the sun. The door is like a dark blue.
Yeah.
So it's probably warm.
Yeah.
I'm thinking that it has something to do
right,
with it.
Right, it holds the heat
know.
In.
And it has a nice ledge there.
Yeah.
And there's the wreath, there's the yellow wreath, so they probably can hone right in on the yellow wreath.
Right, and there's the, and then there's little areas for perching around, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, so.
Yeah, there's the rail. You know, so it's funny, so if you go there and you go, you know, from inside the house looking out the window where they built the nest, they, you know, you get within 3 feet and the father flies off.
Mm-hmm.
The mother flies off. The father is the red one. The mother is the brown one, right? The mother
mm-hmm.
flies off.
Right.
And then they're buzzing around and they're on the railing of the deck, like, and they're like very aggressively
perched.
They're protecting. It's so wild. You know, I'm not very in tune with nature, but like this is like
more than you think. You have more than you think. You're out here every day. You see what
Like I love the birds that we see at the so much more wild, you know, wildlife birds. I didn't tell you. Otters. We had another. Remember how every 2 years we have otters, like an otter sighting around. This time it was over here on the next to Pete Mondello's boat.
And was it?
It was like they're so fleeting. For 20 minutes.
Was it? Was it like?
Playing.
They're
playing with each other.
Was it like a little family playing?
Mark Ring saw it,
okay.
And he could tell you. He ran up here to get me.
Yeah.
And
they were
gone.
And they were gone.
I've seen them on three different occasions over the course of probably 7 years.
Yeah. So
they're the coolest things.
So
and did you see the thing, the Nutra, or whatever it was, the hedgehog?
Yeah.
You know what? What you have there is just a common old groundhog / woodchuck. You didn't approve my comment. A groundhog and a woodchuck are the same exact animal. They're related to the largest member of the squirrel family.
Really?
Yeah. So it's the same animal that you're seeing. Because your choices were groundhog, woodchuck,
elephant,
wallaby.
Wallaby. That would be quite fine.
Yeah. But they're the
sure
they're the same animal. Groundhog and woodchuck. No, it's a groundhog.
Did
you make
it?
That's fine. I don't care.
Yeah.
I don't. What?
It was
did
dead.
You grill it or make it a coat or anything?
No. So you know how big of a pussy I am around animals, right?
Yeah. Ridiculous.
So it was clearly dead, and I still, with my heart was pounding, like going up to it to take the photo.
Oh
no!
Because I was afraid it was gonna like. The eyes are gonna open up, and he's gonna lunge at my neck, and it's gonna bite my jugular vein, and I was gonna bleed out. That's all I can think about. That's all I can think about. I swear to God.
It's like a possum.
I think you need some therapy.
I'm dead, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's just like, and then you know, just like a horror movie, like the wooden mannequin doll that's like it's 2 feet long, and it's just laying there harmlessly, and they have the little music, and then the eyes pop open. Lunges for the neck, and like all of a sudden, just blood is just gushing out of my jugular vein, and I bleed out right on the side of the boulevard.
You know what?
Cutscene.
One can only dream.
You know what? I bet you would have a heart attack if it. You've seen those photos? I'm sure there's like a boat, and then there's a humpback leaping out of the water, and the humpback is like 10 stories high, and the little boat is in the background.
I've seen those.
Like,
exhilarating as everybody says that is, if I was like on a little Zodiac,
you would die.
Yeah, I would pass out.
You would have a heart attack.
Afraid or broke.
You never know.
There's only one animal that I like, and I love this animal, and it's the Good Morning Gloucester associate mascot, Bo.
Bo
is pretty special.
He's adorable.
He doesn't leap. He doesn't bark.
Give him some time. He won't nip, but he will bark and he will jump.
He doesn't bark. He's so cuddly.
No,
he'll
bark.
Oh, my God.
So cuddly.
So we haven't had any more affirmations about the black bear and Magnolia.
No, but
they're coming from the source. I consider a very reliable source, a guy that does not exaggerate.
Right, I totally believe it. There was a supposed sighting of a black bear in East Gloucester 4 months ago. So, I totally believe it, and they're headed this way. I mean, they were in, you know.
I wish Catherine was here to talk about not necessarily East Gloucester, but the school expansion proposal.
Oh,
she did a good job with the post. I didn't even read the post, but the only reason I say she did a good job was because I think she presented all of, if there was like 13 slides of what the different proposals
were.
There's
like seven different options. That's about as far as I got reading into. Yeah.
Sometimes
I go back and read through all the stuff that I've missed.
Yeah.
So.
She's pretty thorough with her stuff.
Looks like a really good post.
So it's Father's Day. It's 10:22.
Happy Father's Day, Joe.
Yes.
Thank you very much.
Day.
My ribs should be nearing completion. Maybe we'll whack them up. Everybody, I hope everybody has a great day and treat your fathers kindly. Don't break their balls. It's Father's Day. Peace out.